This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 204 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, number 204, like I said, from 2011, we got a really fun movie. Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know, Alex. This is a first-time watch for you, I believe. And this is a little movie called Priest. Now, this is a this month, we've been doing horror-adjacent, at least, action films. We've done some Dusk Till Dawn. We've done a little Dog Soldiers. And now, we've arrived at a vampire action movie. And of course, this one is called Priest. Now, not only first time watch, hadn't you you've never even heard of this movie?
No.
I remember when I mentioned it, you were like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, it sounded weird and stupid, but yeah.
Weird and stupid. So this comes from a couple of a little bit of background story here. This, of course, directed by Scott Stewart. I only know two movies that he ever did, and they both star Paul Bettany in the lead. So this is a Paul Bettany movie, but you have a pretty cool cast. You got Maggie Q in this. You got Carl Urban. You got Christopher Plummer. I mean, one of the most famous actors ever, Christopher Plummer's in this. You got that Cam Ginnett guy that was in all those movies in the 2000s, Twilight. Yeah. You got Lily Collins, daughter of Phil Collins. And then you have Bill from True Blood. That was Bill from True Blood was in this. So, you know, you had a nice little cast. And this comes from Screen Gems. Now, if you are like me, you know Screen Gems as the branch of Sony that delivered us like 6 Resident Evil movies, 5 Underworld movies, and a bunch of these kind of movies. Not huge budgets, very high concept, sometimes trash, sometimes fun. That's pretty much the cap on the Screen Gems film. So we're going to be going over it. I'm very excited to talk about it with Alex because he's never seen it. I have seen it. But let's go ahead and give you some Rotten Tomato scores really quick. Priest sits with hold on to your seats because this is incredible. Priest sits at a 15% critic score. 15. Pretty low. We've done lower, but that's pretty low. And it's not Rollerball, but it's not good. And then, of course, audience score a lot higher, as is the case with Screen Gems films. It's a 46, so it's almost 50, but it's way higher than 15. 31. You know, yeah, it's a 31-point gap. Yeah. Surprising to you at all?
Mm-mm.
No. All right, we just want to talk about it already. Okay.
Honestly, to be really honest with you, I'm not shocked by this.
Yeah.
I can see people liking this movie if you're into the underworld, because this is very underworld. But if you're not into that whole franchise like the critics are, this is going to be you're going to be slamming the crap out of this movie. But I mean, let's get into this. Yeah, it's going to be pretty fun.
This takes a very specific type of viewer. So without you telling me what you thought, because I'm about to ask you, but I honestly thought you might dig this a bit because it's like, you know, Last Witch Hunter, those kind of weird, these kind of movies usually do okay for you. So I have no idea. We haven't talked about it. I'm excited. Okay, let's go with the lead character. He's the priest. He's played by Paul Bettany, again. Yeah. A good actor, but usually not a lead actor, but a good actor. What did you think?
Well, I gave his ass a 2. I gave him a 2. And the reason I gave him a 2 was his character wasn't, I know they explained a lot. This movie was a lot of explanation just to get the movie going. I mean, and I got the rated version. Rated? Unrated? I think it was the unrated version.
I hope so, yeah.
It was a lot of explanation. The beginning was like alone, like a 6-minute storytelling of the entire war. His character, first of all, they did not give you much about his character. A lot of twists towards the end they unveiled with the plot, which I was like, okay, cool. But in terms of him, he's a priest. He can beat people's asses. They tell him not to do something. He says, I'm going to do it because of the plot, which we're going to talk about in storyline. The fighting, he was good in the fighting. I just couldn't get behind it. The character I couldn't, and I guess it's because of the whole priest versus vampire. It's been a war for centuries. And, you know, and then they've been extinct for, you know, eternity. And then one day they will come and the priest will be here to fight them. And it's like, yo, this shit is underworld. Like, you guys just took the vampires and likings and just erased it and put Priest and Vampire and then just slapped a new name on it. Like, it's the same storyline from the first movie. They just changed it up a bit. I couldn't get behind it, dude. And for me, Paul Bettany, I know I seen him as Vision. I know he was Jarvis. He is not a lead character, to be honest with you. I think he's more of a supporting. There's certain actors that could command the screen that could be up front. Now you go, okay, you know what? He's a good actor. He could run this the squad. Paul Bettany is more of a supporting actor. Like, if you put him with any other person, like if Kurt Urban and him was reversed, I would be like, you know what? He was good in this movie. But Kurt Urban was in the back. Like, and we'll talk about that during the villain. But other than that, look, I gave him a 2. I couldn't support the Priest.
That's okay. You know what? I'll be a little nicer. I thought it was okay. Okay. A 3. Just a 3. 3 okay. Not, I ain't getting, don't, let's not get crazy here. I agree with you. I agree with you. He doesn't have a commanding screen presence.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think he's a good actor. A very good. I've liked him in a lot of movies, but he's never like the lead guy. Like, I like him in the Da Vinci Code when he hits himself with the stuff. Yeah, Vision. He's cool as Vision. He's got a great voice.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of funny in that horrible Johnny Depp movie, Mordecai. He was like his assistant or butler or whatever. I don't know, but he was kind of funny in that. He's got chops, but he doesn't strike me as a lead actor. That being said, I'm scoring the character. I think it's a cool premise. Yeah, it's similar to a lot of stuff, which we'll get to in storyline. It's similar to a lot of things. I do like the reveals, you know, as far as that the girl they're going after is his daughter. It adds a little bit because it's like, yeah, true. Why do you care so much? They make it like it's his niece the whole time. You think it's like his niece and it turns out it's actually his daughter. I was like, okay, cool. And then the fact that you think back, like the fact that he was willing, like he told the kid, he was like, I'll kill her if she's got bit or whatever. And then you think back and you're like, well, dang, he said he was going to kill her. He was willing to kill his daughter. I like it. I thought he was fine. I'm going to give him a soft 3. It's a soft 3, but I thought he was cool. And I thought he looks, I like the look. I like the thing with the cross on the head. I think it's solid for this kind of movie. It reminds me of like a comic book. It seems like, even though it's not based on a comic book, it seems like it's based on a comic book. And maybe to that little animated opening makes it seem like it is, but I don't know. But I thought he was okay, so I give him a 3. Okay, villain, this is played by your boy, Carl Urban. He's a black cowboy vampire man. That's, I don't remember anybody's name in this.
I don't remember either, but he's getting a 3. He was good. He was good in this movie. And it's not, I'm not talking about, Kurt Urban was, he's way better than Paul Bettany act. I'll say that, he was way better. But in terms of characters, it's just a generic character. Like, it was nothing new. Like, he was a priest. They dragged his ass into the cave, and he became a vampire. And now he's the first ever human vampire hybrid.
He got orange eyes.
Yeah, he could come out in the sun, and he's more stronger and faster than the priest. And I was just like, man, you're so, dude, you're like the most generic character written on paper. And like I said, like, he looked cool with the cowboy hat, with the fangs. I said, man, he looked badass. But I wish there was more to it. I wish he was more badass. Like, he's just snapping people's checks. Like, I mean, necks and then whatever, writing checks or whatever the hell Ryan goes
snapping
with.
Snapping necks and writing checks. That's a new, we gotta put that on a shirt. That's a new catchphrase. Snapping necks and writing checks. Carl Urban. Oh, man. That was good. That was good.
That's it, bro.
Yeah, I like it.
As a villain, you snap necks and write checks, baby, because that's it. I was like, yo, he deserves that. We didn't get it. We didn't get in here. All he did was he sucked the blood out of Chucky for a little bit. And
Brad Dourif was in this. I forgot Brad Dourif was in this too.
Yeah, he sucked the blood of Chucky. And I was just like, okay, great. Like, you didn't do nothing else. And I didn't like that. I was like, my man Kurt, you wasted my man's villainy. I missed it. He was not writing checks, but he did break some people's necks. But I didn't like it. That's it. It was not cool for me. But I gave him a 3 because he was more solid. He kept me engaged into the story. So with that, I gave it a 3.
Same. I have the same score as you. I gave him a 3 too. I thought they were pretty much like, they were the same. Again, you're right. It's not much to him. He looks cool as hell though. He looks great. It's a great design. The yellow eyes, the fangs. He looks like a cowboy. from the old West, but definitely a bad guy because he's wearing all black. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This movie is essentially a Western if you really think about it. Look at where the family lives. Look how they're dressed. They're on a train. They're on, like, it's a Western, except it has vampire. It's a futuristic Western with other things that I'll talk about later. But I agree with you. I think you said it all. He doesn't kill enough. If he killed more, he'd get a 4, but he doesn't kill enough. You're right. He kills Brad Dourif, who I totally forgot he was. I forgot he was in it when I rewatched it, and I forgot he was in it just now because it's in like 2 scenes only. But he looks cool though. Carl Urban is a great character design. Decent villain. A 3. I agree with you. Okay, action.
The action, a 4. I think the action was really good in this. Now, one thing Screen Gems does very well is action, from Underworld to Resident Evil, regardless of how crappy some of those sequels are.
Yeah.
But the action scene is what keeps you engaged in these films, because other than that, I'd be like, you know what, this movie's a straight garbaggio. But no, this movie was actually really good in terms of the action sequences with him with the Bible, and then he threw it up and then he grabbed it and he started throwing it on the CGI Muppets. And I was like, all right, that's pretty cool.
The CGI Muppets.
Yeah, yes. The CGI Muppets. He's just throwing it. And I was like, wow, that's cool. Maggie Q, which she was, again, she was gorgeous. She did her little thing when she did the thing with her necklace, and she wrapped one and then she yanked it. Yeah, and I was like, you know what? That's pretty cool too. There's a lot of good action sequences in this movie, and I wish it had a better story to engage with the action. I think it should have been more of an adventure with a little bit of action. I think you would have hooked everybody, but They didn't. It just felt very, very Underworld. I guarantee you, this movie was 2011. I guarantee you an Underworld movie came out during that time, because it feels like an Underworld movie. I'm gonna look it up.
If it was, it would be around like that, the fourth one.
Blood Wars?
The third or the... No, not the Blood Wars.
Oh, the Rise of Lycans?
Either Awakening or Rise of the Lycans.
Yeah. One of those. I'm going to look it up while you do your stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I will say in terms of action, I'm going to give it a 4, because it actually was entertaining. Where Kurt Urban and him was fighting on top of the train. I was like, you know what? It was a generic fight, but it was pretty good though. No, so
I thought it was cool. Yeah, I agree with you. You know what? The action's not really bad in this movie, and it looks pretty good for whatever the budget was. I know this was not a huge budget film. It has good action. Some of the vampire scenes are cool. Like so the vampires in this are very different. They don't have eyes. They're like white, bald white vampires with no eyes. So they fight at night, and they have the scene with him and the kid at first when the vampires come out. It was neat, but I think the finale action scene is actually really good. I enjoy it. I like it out in the train. And by the way, I had this on Blu-ray. I didn't even remember that I had this on Blu-ray, but I have it in this double pack. The Blu-ray, those scenes look really great. Like they look really good, especially when they're in the daylight. I do remember this was shot in 3D, and a lot of times when movies are shot in 3D and then put onto Blu-rays, they just look really clear for some reason. So that could be why. I like the train stuff. Again, it reminds me of an old Western where they're fighting on a train. Maggie Q owns in that whole last scene. I like all the scene with when the guys come out on the motorcycles off the train. It's a nice set piece, and I thought the action was executed well. You could always see what's happening. You know who's who. You know what's what. So I also gave it a 4. I think it's the strength of this movie on the whole. So okay, I think I know where you're gonna go with this, but storyline.
All right. So to let you know, Underworld Awakening was 2002. And Retribution was 2012 also.
That's Resident Evil.
Yeah. Resident Evil and Underworld was 2012 together.
So this came out 1 year before.
Yeah, 1 year before. Okay. So it kind of felt very... with those slot between those other franchises.
Like, let's give them another Screen Gems classic.
But this time, no female. It'll be a guy.
It'll be a man and Maggie Q.
And Maggie Q. Okay, so with that said, the storyline, I'm sorry, this thing gets a whopping double quarter pounder 2, because this thing is not good. This is a 2. This is not a good storyline. Again, very generic, and I think I would have gave it more if it was more unique. I do like the whole priest thing, and they have their own society. They have gadgets. They want to beat people's asses. Like it, love it. It's cool. But the problem is that we already got a franchise with this type of storyline. It's called Underworld Kate Beckinsale. The Vikings and Lycans. I mean, the vampires and Lycans have this war for centuries. And you know, Victor came and did all this blah, 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 blah. Now, this is kind of the same kind of story. They just ripped it out and tweaked it here and there to give you another one. So it didn't fool me much. I bet it has other movies. I know you're going to go when you're going to talk about other movies that it connects to. My mind just keeps focusing on Underworld because it comes from that same Screen Gems. So
and it's a lot of blue,
and it's a lot of blue
when it's nighttime.
Yeah, blue. And again, with the storyline, the characters was not engaging. I did not care for the priest at all. I didn't even care for his daughter once they revealed it. I was just like, okay, so he banged someone? Like, how is he still a priest? Like, is it that type of priest? It was before he was a priest. Right. And then his brother was married to his wife, which is weird. In the beginning of the movie, that was the priest's wife that he was married to. So he had to fake the funk.
She had to marry somebody.
Yeah, so.
I don't think it was his real brother. I don't know, but
but it was just, yeah, his uncle. But anyway, I gave it a 2. It was just not engaging, not good.
So the problem with the movie storyline-wise is, yeah, it's, I didn't really go to Underworld other than knowing it's a Screen Gems film. So visually, I got a lot of Underworld, but you know what this reminded me of? This reminded me of a lot of the 1990s Judge Dredd. A lot of the visual, the cities, Mega City 1, they pretty much have these big cities that they have to stay in. And if you go to the outside, there's the Outlander people who are all like in the Wild West. It's freaking just like Judge Dredd. And then it also visually, the city itself, it looks a lot like the old original Blade Runner. It got like flames shooting out of the buildings. Mm. It borrows from so many other things that it's hard to really look at it as a super original movie. Now, with that being said, if I just break it down to its core storyline, I think there's an idea there that's fun, like vampires, just vampires. Let's take out like, not comparing it to anything else. Vampires and humans, just in general, they've been eating us. We've been trying to fight them for centuries. And then they make a unit of the church that is, you know, these priests, essentially like the old, the Crusades or whatever, you know, you had those like the Knights Templar and all that.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Right.
So you have that, but it's to fight vampires. Not a bad idea. Okay. That's neat. And then, you know, that's where my fondness for it stops. I think it's a good kernel. I don't necessarily like where they went with it. I almost would have liked it if it took place in like the old, like medieval times or something like that. I think it would have been better than making it futuristic. You know what I mean?
Twist. Because,
yeah, exactly. Because then making it futuristic, it just feels like a million other movies. I agree with you. I gave it a 2. The only reason I didn't give it a 1 is because I do think in there's like at least a nugget of a cool premise, but not executed very well at all. So a 2 for me as well. Okay, overall.
Overall, it's a 2. It's a decent film. It's not good at all for a lot of people. For myself, it's not good. And I'm not owning this movie. Like, this movie's not good enough for me to go, yeah, I will buy it. CGI-wise, it's horrible. There's a lot of horrible scenes with the CGI. It is not up to par, but certain ones did look good. I just don't like when they do fighting with CGI now. I guess I'm being very picky with the practical, with Prey. That you can't tell me that you can put like 2 people in prosthetics and then multiply them with CGI to make it look better.
Yeah.
It did not look good when he fought that little monster thing. It just looked too cheesy for me. I love the cave scenes when they were in the cave and you saw the bats flying and he was like, we gotta go up there. And I was like, all right, cool, go up there. Let's do what you got to do. Yeah. Kurt Urban scenes were actually pretty good, but I wish they had a scene that he transformed into a vampire. That would have been pretty cool that he was like playing him as normal, going, hey, priest. He goes, I'm here. I'm your friend. And then all of a sudden he just goes, and I was like, oh, shit. And then he just looks up and his eyes are orange. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. You left me to die. And I'm like, yeah. That's what you do to friends. Who leaves you to die? You kill them.
Friends let friends die.
Yeah, it let, pretty much. Yeah.
He said, you let me go. That's what he says. You let me go.
You let me go. I don't know. I'm like, you let me die. But that was the voice I would. So far, everyone got the fake action voice. I noticed that. Paul Bettany had the fakest action voice. Yeah,
but his was just, he didn't do a grovel. He just talked.
No, he didn't.
He just talked lower.
Yeah.
Calm, very calm.
He was like, let go of my daughter.
That's my daughter.
Yeah. And then the other guy, I did not like him. The sheriff.
Yeah, I'll about to talk about him in my.
I don't like the sheriff. He looked like they ripped him out of a anime cornball show and threw his ass in there. Like, he was horrible as a sheriff. But yeah, look, it was a 2. Overall, not good.
Yeah, you know, I remember seeing this movie in the theater back in, 2011? 11 years
2011,
ago.
Okay. Yeah.
11 years ago, I was in my mid-20s. I saw this with my cousin. I distinctly, I'll never forget this movie theater experience because there was a woman in the theater who would not stop coughing. She coughed through the entire movie. And it made me so mad that I felt like I couldn't enjoy the movie. Like, I thought maybe I liked it. So I got this Blu-ray years. This is like, I've had this thing since it came out, which is like at this point, 10, 11 years ago. And I was like, I'll watch it again one day. And this was my first time watching it since 2011. So I don't think her coughing affected it. It's just not that good of a movie. I will say this visually. I think there's some cool stuff, especially when they're in the daytime. It looks really nice. I like the daylight scenes. I like the train scenes. When the nighttime vampires come out, You're right. They don't look that great. Minus a billion points because this movie stars Cam Jagandit or whatever his name is. I can't stand that guy. I cannot stand that guy. I'm glad you mentioned him. Every movie he's in, he's my least favorite part of that movie. It doesn't matter who else is in it. He's the worst part. He was the worst. Twilight, I hate, and he's still the worst part of that movie. And there's some real bad people in that movie. He's never backed down. I have some friends who are fans of that movie. I ain't one of them because this guy's one of the lead characters. He's such a tool bag. I never understood the appeal. He got a lot of roles. I think it's because he was good looking and girls liked him, but I never got the appeal as an actor. He's not good. The rest of the cast I thought was actually really good. Christopher Plummer, he's not used a lot. He's in like three. He probably filmed all his scenes in like 2 days, but
and went home.
It's still cool. Yeah, it's still cool that they got him and Brad Dourif and Lily Collins and Bettany. I do love Maggie Q. I'm a fan of hers in general. And it was cool to see her. And also the worst part of this movie, though, hands down, and I'm done here. The reason it's really a two is when they're in the cave and they're fighting that dog monster vampire guy, Maggie Q. Takes the rocks and she throws the rocks so that he could run up them in the air. And that's when I said, this movie, I cannot, I'll give it only the two because the rest of the action was pretty good. But that part, because these priests are supposed to be people and they sure do jump really high and run really fast.
They're
for
Jedis,
regular
bro.
Humans, right? Like yeah. He jumped in the air and jumped off of a floating rock. Like she tossed it and like, I want to try that in real life and I'm sure nothing will happen.
Oh,
I
no,
don't think
fall.
That physics don't work that way. It's hilarious. It's a two. What's your total points?
Well, grab a can of Febreze because this movie stinks. I gave it a, I gave it a 13 out of a 25. Yeah, not good.
Mm-mm. 13. I'm a 1 point higher because I gave Paul Bettany a 3. So 14 out of a 25. We're close. We're pretty much right on the level. Yeah, not that good. Not that good. And now I'm worried about the other movie in that Blu-ray pack. Now I want to watch it because...
Was it Priest 2?
It's Legion. That, the one where he's an angel, the fallen angel. It's Paul Bettany again.
Oh,
and he's the
Lord.
Fallen angel. And, and he goes to that diner and there's like demons and stuff. I want to watch. You know what? I might watch it when we're done just to see. Might give another two. I don't know. We will save it for next,
give it another
for next year's horror related. Because there's like
the
fallen
sequels?
Angels and demons and stuff. I don't know. Mm. Anyway, yes, Priest, we didn't like it. So it's not that great. If you like total garbage, you might get a little nugget of, you know, entertainment. The best part is it's 80 minutes. Or something like that. Like, it's really short. So, at least you won't be sitting here for 2 hours watching this. Now, next week, we got First Time Watch for Me. And a movie that I've been... Listen, we've tried to get this on the show already, like, 200 episodes in. Already had it, took it off, had it, took it off. Finally. First, we're going to be doing The Enforcer, another Dirty Harry. And then, next week, one of our favorite months. Alex, I know it's one of your favorite months. It's one of my favorite months. We're doing the female-led action movies. And
finally.
You know what time it is. It's time for some Point of No Return.
Yes!
Bridget Fonda. We're finally watching
yes!
it. So, yes, next week we're kicking off Women Month, International Women Month here on Action Movie Guys with some Bridget Fonda, Point of No Return. So that's what you want to keep an eye out for next week.
Yo, I have not seen that movie in years, but I loved it when I was a kid.
Is
that
it's like the American version of La Femme Nikita. It's like
is that the
much
one that she goes through the shoot the food shoot or whatever the hell it was? She runs
it's like
and
some
jumps
kind
in.
Of shaft. Yeah,
yeah, she jumps down with a red dress.
Bridget Fonda.
Yeah, that was a good movie. I remember that movie.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be.
Yeah,
good
it's been
time.
A while.
Well, it might not be. Who knows? We'll see.
It might be a whack ass movie, but it's not gonna
We're
take
gonna
away
have a nice
my memories.
Time. And then we got the other ones coming up: Tomb Raider, the remake, because we have the Lara Croft ones, the Angelina Jolie ones coming later. Quick rundown, because you know we like to give you the little preview. So we'll be doing Point of No Return, then the Tomb Raider remake, reboot, whatever. Then a little Gina Carano Haywire. We're gonna be doing a little bit of Haywire.
Been a while.
And then we're gonna be doing the Charlie's Angels reboot, remake, whatever, the new one. And then we're gonna end it with our girl, another movie that I think was on the schedule and got removed, Zoe Saldana and some Colombiana. So
I never saw that movie.
Oh, I feel like Point of No Return and Colombiana are nice bookends. They're kind of like, they're kind of in the same world.
I'd never seen Colombiana. I heard a lot of good things about it, but I never seen it. So that'll
we're going to have some
be
fun.
Yeah. I love the female-led
one. Yeah, me too. And the best part is at the end of November, after Dirty Harry, we kick off the Resident Evil franchise. So more female-led.
More female.
Mila Jovovich.
I think by the third movies. Movie, we're both going to go, why?
I know for a fact which movies I absolutely hate, and I'm not looking forward to watching them, but we'll talk about that at a later time.
Yeah, it's I get to crack the 4Ks again on that Resident Evil set. I've never seen any of them.
I have it, but I've never watched them.
They're actually a really good transfer from what I remember, because I've never seen none of the other ones. So this is kind of like my second time watching in terms of.
So I'm sure they look great, but yeah, they look great. You got a lot of women coming at you and mixed in with a little bit of Dirty Harry.
Yeah, there you have it, guys. If you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks or go to our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com for your podcast needs. We got merchandise. And of course, you guys can join the Patreon and watch us film your favorite podcast behind the scenes. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.